welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. No, you're not just seeing things. No, he's not in a movie. He's not on the series Cops, probably the most featured cop in the United States on the series Cops. You know, you're not seeing him in Miss Congeniality with Sandra Bullock. You're not seeing him on the movie Casino either, even though he's been in all those. You're not seeing him on the cover of one of his many books that he's written. And there is a new one. He's also the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. He's got about, I think it's 32 or 34 years law enforcement experience, most of which was Las Vegas Metro Police. Is that correct?
34 years, 10 in Princeton, New Jersey, and 24 with Las Vegas Metro.
Well, the only good thing about working in Las Vegas, or the main thing, you lost the accent from Princeton when you went to Vegas.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm from Princeton. We don't have accents.
I've heard that before. All right, so I love it. So thanks for being on the show, Randy. Should be a great show. We're starting off with some content from Randy. First, let me get to our sponsors. Our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies. Thanks to them, we are currently on satellite radio, and also GunLearner.com, BlueTheGold.com. MyMedicare.live. I spoke with Jim Cavill from there today. Safeguard Recruiting, and also, well, Safeguard's our streaming sponsor, helping us reach 1.5 million people right now, and also TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. We got some killer gear. Also, a shout out to Brian Birch for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com for carrying our content. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And guys, I'm going to whet the appetite. We're going to start off. Randy just got back from Police Week, and he's got some information about his new book, Rescuing 911, and also about his summit coming up. So we want to hear all about that, but also some of the other stuff we're talking about. Supreme Court overrules Obama judge. And Randy, I got to mute your microphone there, so I'm getting too much background noise. And let me go ahead and go through the gamut here. Supreme Court overrules Obama judge, greenlights Trump's move to end migrant protections. And that's the first topic we're going to be talking about after Randy gets done. Then we got Mobile County Sheriff says that a police immunity law is understood and that it holds officers, or misunderstood, and it holds officers accountable. Listen to what they're doing in Alabama. Also, Clark County deputy fatally stabs a DUI suspect in the back while being attacked in the station. Yeah, this deputy, they're fighting over the gun. Deputy had a knife. We finally got one, and he ends up neutralizing the threat. Elk Grove police release a video of an officer shooting a suspect in an In-N-Out Burger parking lot. And then we got a Belmont officer charged with rape. He had a 2017 domestic violence arrest, but he didn't stop him from being a cop. And also, did I mention he was on a U.S. work permit? Because he was not a U.S. citizen and only in California. Thank you, Gavin Newsom. Also, Vancouver police officers stop a suspect from stabbing his dog during an arrest. And that's where the taser was the hero of the story. Then we got Johnston police officer shoots a suspect who hit an officer with their vehicle while trying to flee. Got some incredible stuff. Now, hey, let's start off with Police Week. I'll tell you, if you're listening to the show, if you're active or retired law enforcement or even just former law enforcement, you need to do Police Week at least once. I probably have been at least 10 times, and it's a fantastic experience. Candlelight vigil, police unity tour arriving, the president address on the 15th. I mean, there are just so many great things, camaraderie, everybody walking around with badges hanging out, and there's no such thing as paying for the subway or anything. And businesses cater to you. Everybody gets along, except maybe the banter between Miami PD and NYPD. But it's a beautiful time. Randy just got back. And so, Randy, we'd like to hear about the trifecta. You know, Police Week, Rescuing 911, and the summit coming up, buddy. And you're muted, Randy, but...
So Police Week was incredible, as always. I'm going to say this is maybe my 20th time there. Over the years, and this time, you know, I'm there as a representative for the Wounded Blue, because part of the issues are many cops don't know the Wounded Blue even exists. So by being in an area where there was probably 35,000 to 40,000 police officers came to Washington D.C. for National Police Week, and so there's so many cops there. It's a great arena for us to get the word out about the Wounded Blue. And we actually found some officers who were in serious need of our services. And we're helping to, or we've already gotten some people into some treatment that is really, really necessary for them. So the Wounded Blue is, you know, is my organization, helps injured and disabled officers across the country. And where better to be than Washington during National Police Week? But it was beautiful. I mean, as you said, the camaraderie there is incredible. You know, one time when all the cops get together and there's no rivalry, there's no jealousy, there's no infighting, it's everybody's there to honor the names on the wall. And of course, we had a whole bunch more names go up this year. So it was a great few days. I went right from there, and this is a dog bite story. So one of the things the Wounded Blue does is we have the Order of the Blue Heart Award, which is the Purple Heart for the police. And I went to Indiana and gave a police lieutenant who was severely injured and then thrown away by his department after he was injured in a ambush, and then went right from there to Illinois, where this police officer, this kid always, he grew up being a cop. His dad's a cop. His brother's a cop. He gets on the job. He's doing a great job. Gets in a pursuit, runs after the suspect. Canine gets deployed to take down the suspect, but bites the officer instead. Severe dog bite. Well, they didn't give him the proper medical treatment. They wound up amputating his leg. And then they threw him away. Well, the Wounded Blue gave him an Order of the Blue Heart Award, and the sheriff in the county, even though he wasn't his cop, showed up with his almost his entire department to show unity and solidarity for this young officer who lost so much. So it's amazing what the Wounded Blue is doing. And of course, we have the Survival Summit coming up in September 22nd through the 25th. Any law enforcement officer, and bring your spouse. And if you're retired, believe me, there's plenty for you to see as well, because even though you hang up the badge and the gun, doesn't mean you leave all that pain behind. So go to thewoundedblue.org and register for that summit today.
All right. And you've got Rescuing 911.
Oh, yeah. My new book came out and it hit number one bestseller. And it's getting some pretty good attention. You know, it tells everything about how we got into this criminal justice crisis. And it really is. It's an easy to read book. I've gotten great compliments on it from a lot of people. And so I urge anybody that really wants to know the story about how we got here and what we need to do to get out of this insane criminal justice crisis that we are still in the midst of.
And that's Amazon.com, I believe. You can either type in Rescuing 911 or Randy Sutton, and it'll pop up, correct?
You got it.
Now, I got one more question for you, Randy. I know I didn't prep you on this before the show, but I got to ask you, what is your favorite part of Police Week? What is your favorite, just your favorite part, whether it could be an event, it could be something that you end up doing or seeing, but what is your favorite part? What do you enjoy the most? It's a week-long event.
As far as poignancy, I think the candlelight vigil is probably the most memorable. You know, you got 25,000-30,000 cops in their dress uniforms while they're reading the names of the officers whose names are on the wall, going on the wall, all holding their candles. I mean, it is a sight to behold.
Special.
If you don't get a little tear in your eye on this one,
I agree.
Well, there's something pretty much wrong with you. But so there's that, and then the camaraderie at Kelly's Irish Times.
Oh, yeah. Very
which
good.
Which is a staple of every cop who winds up in Police Week who's they're going to find their way to Kelly's Irish Times, where Johnny Krupinski, who's on my board of directors and the Connecticut police sergeant, is the disc jockey up there. And, I mean, he is an entertaining guy. So Kelly's Irish Times, love them.
I love it. I bet you with the crew that recognizes you there, I bet you have a hard time paying for your own beer when you go there, Randy.
That's a pretty accurate statement.
All right. I love it. Well, thanks for bringing people up to speed. Look, Police Week, normally May 15th is the day of the ceremony. And actually, did Trump make it to the ceremony? No?
J.D. Vance did it because Trump was in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, he was in the Middle East. Okay.
Yeah. But Vance is amazing. He's, you know that Trump was there in his heart. He actually did a video for it. but he, you know, he's running the country. But I got to tell you this, the White House was lit up in blue light, and that hasn't been, that has not been the case since he left office the first time.
All right. All right. I love it. Well, thanks for the insight. Don't forget what I said, guys. If you've never been, go at least once. You'll be glad that you did. Now, going to our next story, it's a main story. And so they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. It's at rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Supreme Court overrules Obama judge that greenlight Trump's move to end migrant protection. So what does that mean? Are we talking about, you know, Venezuela, or what are we talking about? Well, listen to this. So the U.S. Supreme Court, which Attorney Jeff Childers calls the Supremes, which I like that, the Supremes, on Monday, they lifted a lower court's order that blocked President Trump's efforts to revoke temporary protected status. So it's called TPS for hundreds of thousands of migrants who entered the country under the Biden administration's parole programs, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. Now, the decision allows Trump's administration, they can actually go forward with their plan to terminate this program, TPS, for approximately 350,000 Venezuelans who entered the United States under President Joe Biden's. It's the CHNV. It's the Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela Parole Initiative is what it's called. And Justice Jackson is the only member of the Supreme Court that actually dissented from the ruling. Everybody else agreed with this, which is, you know, pretty special, actually. So I'm going to be getting more into this when we come back from commercial break, guys. It's a great story. And hey, why don't we do a Golf's gift card giveaway today too as well. So if you're watching the stream, all you have to do is type in the word Golf's, give us your email address if you haven't won in 60 days to get a free Golf's gift card. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, it's time to talk about Golf's at Golf's.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy gear from a lot of different places. And, hey, especially if you're looking online. But I want to remind everybody that's listening the importance of supporting companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does this better than Golf's at Golf's.com. Their motto is even proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please consider supporting our title sponsor and go to Golf's.com. They pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. It's incredible. And for the loyal listeners of the show, they have a radio code that you can use when you place your order to get 15% off your next purchase, and that is Radio15. So type in Radio15 to get 15% off your next purchase, and that is good until June the 31st at Golf's.com. And they have gift cards we're giving away two every week. And hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Golf's gift card to be your new best friends, Golf's.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. You know, when we, just before commercial break, we were talking about some breaking news, actually. Supreme Court overrules the Obama judge and greenlights the Trump's move to end migrant protections. We're talking about the temporary protected status called TPS under the Biden administration and Biden's CHMV program. It's a parole initiative, but it's for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. So Justice Brown Jackson is the only member of the Supreme Court that dissented, meaning that she doesn't agree with the rest of the Supreme Court on the move. But in March, U.S. District Judge Edwin Chen, so this is a lower level judge, not on the Supreme Court, but he's an appointee of President Barack Obama, and he actually slammed Trump. He issued a temporary injunction halting Trump's administration's plan. Now, Judge Chen, he got a little egg on his face from this. His ruling temporarily protected Venezuelans who were admitted under Biden's discretionary parole program. Now, the Justice Department under Trump, they argued that the use of the humanitarian parole, it's not a permanent thing, and that the executive branch has the authority to end the program at any time. And early reports indicated that President Trump was preparing to revoke the status of roughly 532,000 individuals who were granted entry under Biden's parole policy. And this is why Chen got egg on his face, because the Supreme Court said, you know, you got it wrong. So many of the individuals were flown directly into the country through the CHMV program, and they bypassed traditional immigration channels. We all remember having the reports and the videos and pictures of, you know, midnight runs from other countries, and then Biden's flying these guys all over the place. And wait till you hear in a second where they went. So according to the Customs and Border Protection, more than 1 million foreign nationals have entered the U.S. via mechanisms such as this CBP One mobile application and the CHMV program. Now, the individuals were labeled as legal entrants, but they are illegal, of course, by the Biden administration, although their presence was based on discretionary policy rather than statutory immigration law. So Biden invented it. The figures are separate from the border, from the broader estimates at the border, and under all the millions of people that are coming in, the other millions of people, right? So data shown that there is also a disproportionate number of the parolees being resettled in Republican-leaning states. So think about that for a minute. These people that we're talking about, who are going to be a burden on the taxpayers because they're not contributing, right? They're taking our Social Security funding, and they've got free health care. They've got, you know, credit cards, housing, all this stuff. 448 Haitian migrants admitted through the program, and 362,000 of them, or 81% of them, they were flown into red states, Republican states. Wow. And one high-profile case involved a Haitian man admitted under Biden's program. He was later charged with three murders, including those of two children. So that's what we've been putting up with, and Trump's just trying to set the record straight and to make it right. Lieutenant Randy Sutton.
Well, if there is no greater illustration of what was actually behind the madness of the Biden administration, this is it. The reality is, this whole invasion that was perpetuated by the Biden administration was done in order to change the map of the political landscape. That's the whole purpose behind this, is to give the power to the Democratic Party forever. And their thought process is that if they flood all these areas with, because remember, these voting districts get broken up by number of people, not by, you know, the party line. So if you have more and more people in a congressional district, well, that just keeps it more on the lines of what you're aiming for, which in this case is political power for the Democratic Party. It's such an insidious thing that was done. It's really, if you look at it objectively, what the Biden administration has done is treasonous in my point of view.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad that you get it, and hopefully more Americans, you know, will as well. So, well, you ready to move on, Randy, to the next article? And that's actually going to be an update story, I believe.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Well, put your seatbelt on, because we've got a Fox10TV.com. Mobile County Sheriff says that a new police immunity law is misunderstood, and that it holds officers accountable. So Mobile, Alabama is where we're at. On Friday, Governor Kay Ivey signed HB, so that's House Bill 202. The bill is one of the most heavily debated bills on Ivey's anti-crime package this year. And some of the state Democrats contend that the bill would make it more difficult to prosecute police officers for wrongdoing. But not everybody gets it that way. So the law states that an officer's shall be justified in the use of physical force as long as it is not constitutionally excessive force or recklessly outside of the officer's discretionary authority. And so in essence, the law sets legal standards for the use of force, provides an immunity hearing where a judge decides if the case against an officer can move forward. So it's not giving the officer immunity. He gets an immunity hearing, so a judge has to decide. Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, he weighs in on the law, and he says that, I think from a Democratic perspective, there's a misunderstanding that the bill allows police to do anything and not be held accountable, and that's just not what it says. Basically, in a nutshell, if you're acting within the scope of your job, you know, following the rules within the guidelines, and you're acting in good faith, it gives you some legal protections, both civilly and criminally. Sheriff Berg said the law provides accountability for officers as well. He says if you do something criminally and what you know is wrong, this bill would not protect you, which is the way it should be. And he goes on to say that law enforcement often faces lawsuits of excessive force, damaging a house or property while conducting search warrants and wrecks during pursuits. And he issued the following statement after signing House Bill 202. I was very proud to have two former law enforcement agents sponsoring this important bill in the House and in the Senate. And it talks about Representative Rex Reynolds, a former police officer in Huntsville, and Senator Lance Bell, a former deputy sheriff in St. Clair County. Both did an excellent job moving the bill through the legislative process. I could not agree more with Senate sponsor Lance Bell's remarks from the Senate floor yesterday when he rightly said this is about protecting them while they're protecting us. And as far as backing the blue goes, he goes, Rep. Reynolds was spot on with his comments yesterday when he said that this bill will restore some faith among our officers and show them that we have their backs in Alabama. And he talks about HB 202 signing the law. He's proud that Alabama will now be the most pro-law enforcement state in the country. Wow. So, guys, stay tuned. We're going to cover this when we get back. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about compliant technologies. And look, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety, and it's about safeguarding those on the front lines from hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Now, their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and saline protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. And also, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. Plus, we're not done yet. They continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So, you know, when it comes to safety, it's non-negotiable. You can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need, and you can learn more about how to equip your team today at compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's compliantechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best protection starts with the right protection. All right, guys, let's go in and talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on tomorrow, Wednesday, breaking news, Supreme Court issues major use of force decision in Barnes versus Felix on May the 21st. Sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers at Blue and step up your legal game. That is bluethegold.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And hey, we just got done talking about a new bill in California, and it's supposed to, it's providing some protections for Alabama, law enforcement.
Alabama.
Did I say California?
You said California.
No, okay.
Bill definitely didn't come from California.
Oh, no, you're right. So I don't know. The poop bar. You know, sometimes I do these little word challenges to make sure Randy's paying attention. But yeah, it is Alabama. And look, it does not take away accountability for police officers, and it grants officers a right to have a hearing in front of a judge to determine if they will have immunity, and it affects both criminal and civil. Randy, what do you think about this? A step in the right direction, or what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is, well, you know, the law of the land for many, many years has been the qualified immunity, which was granted as a Supreme Court decision. And that's been basically the way, you know, the decisions have been made to prosecute police or not prosecute police. But that went awry in the entrails of the George Floyd insanity that literally, you know, had destroyed much of the law enforcement world here. So qualified immunity, and this is another, it's very misunderstood. All qualified immunity says is very similar to what this law says, and that is, if you act within the scope of the law, then you should be immune from prosecution and lawsuit. It really is a very simple idea, but what they have done in Alabama now is they've codified it. So basically they're saying, and they've added another dimension, that now a judge has to make the decision if you acted within the scope of the law. So I think it's a really good move, and I think it's very good protection for police.
Now, Randy, I think it's important, and thank you for that, the insight. And Randy brings a unique perspective, and he gets it. Randy's got a lot of exposure, and he actually has his finger on the pulse of law enforcement around the country. I think it's important for people to understand, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just, they don't know what they don't know. Look, there's no offense. We can't all know everything. Randy and I don't know everything, but certain things are in our wheelhouse, and it's important for us to know because of what we do. So there are a lot of people misunderstand qualified immunity, and they confuse it with things like absolute immunity, which is what judges and prosecutors get to enjoy. So Randy, would you agree that, I mean, if anybody's going to get upset about immunity, qualified immunity, the first word says it all. Qualified, they have to qualify for it, right?
Right.
Absolute immunity, not the case. If you're a prosecutor or a judge, you get it automatically, and it's nothing that you have to qualify for. You don't have to go to a judge, a jury, a courtroom. You get it automatically. There's a lot more protection in that. and in my opinion, a lot more injustices that are done. You can operate with blanket protection, which is really just kind of scary. Law enforcement doesn't enjoy that, and we're okay with that because we think things should be fair. So whenever people get all upset about police officers qualified immunity, you're forgetting what the first word in that means, qualified. They only get it if they qualify for it. So anything I'm leaving out, Randy?
No, but I just want to reiterate that the, you know, we've seen such incredible injustices take place at the hands of district attorneys.
Oh, you're right.
That have literally allowed killers to roam the streets free. Judges whose misconduct is absolutely, you know, flagrant, but they enjoy the immunity. And so I just wish that arena would be tackled and there would be some, some way to hold people accountable for their decisions that are flagrantly improper. But the whipping boys here are the police.
Yeah.
They're, no doubt. That's one of the, that's part of my, when I think of the injustice, that's a big part of it.
I concur. Well, look, moving on. We've got a story with a video component. So, do you have your seatbelt on, Randy? Can you handle this? This is a pretty wild story here.
I'll try.
Okay. Look, guys, the story is a video component. So, I will tell our Audible listeners right now. Maybe you're listening by radio or podcast. Please stay loyal to the outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on, so that you won't feel like you're being left out of anything. But if we cover something that's got a video component that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel. The very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will, he actually creates an additional version of this live show, and he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. That's on our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable, and it comes up at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's the next day. We do that Tuesday through Saturday. So this story, it's at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Clark County deputy fatally stabs a DUI suspect in the back while being attacked in the station.
You know what's crazy? It's just you and me in this fucking room.
It's just you and me in this room. This is a police station. There's plenty of troopers here.
Are there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Did you not see me talking to the trooper when we first pulled up?
How many people are here in the room?
Are you trying to make threatening?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, and why are you saying things like that?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead and stand up. Turn around and face away from me.
Sure. Are you sure?
Yeah, turn around and face away from me right now.
Are you fucking sure?
Get the fuck away from me! Boy, 73, I'm fighting with one.
Are you fucking sure?
Give me the air, he's reaching for my gun. Mark, you're gonna get fucking shot!
Yeah! Yeah, that's what I want. Motherfucker.
I'm in shock! Mark! Mark, get the fuck away from me! Get the fuck away from me, Mark!
I'm not looking to shoot you.
Mark! Let me read that title one more time, because if you didn't get it, the deputy, he kills a DUI suspect. He doesn't shoot him. He stabs him to death. Why in the world did that happen, boy? Are you going to find this out? And I tell you, we have been waiting for something like this to happen. It doesn't mean I'm excited about the death of a bad guy. It just means that I'm glad that we have finally some justification on our preaching to the cops to carry secondary weapons, backup weapons, knives especially, because you never know when it's going to come in play. Vancouver, Washington. Clark County Sheriff's Office officials, they released this body cam footage that shows the events from a deadly stabbing incident involving a deputy and a guy that was in custody under suspicion of driving under the influence, DUI. Now, the incident, it was on May the 7th, a suspected DUI investigation. Clark County deputies, they responded about 11 o'clock in the evening to a crash, and it's in Vancouver. So at the scene, deputies reportedly discover a car, and it crashed into two parked cars in the area. The driver's a 54-year-old named Mark Fogle, and he ends up being detained by deputies, later taken to the patrol way station in Ridgefield because they had a breathalyzer there. And that's where you get the alcohol blood content they blow into the machine. So once at the way station, Deputy Bryson Layton, he removes our bad guy's handcuffs because he's going to administer the breathalyzer test to him. After removing the cuffs, our bad guy, Fogle, he starts putting his hands on his head. He tells the deputy that I'm doing this for your safety. And there's some verbiage going back and forth, but it really, some of the stuff is, these are like flag words going on. Deputy Layton responds, you promise you're not going to hurt me? And the Fogle replies, I'm promising. And but then it continues after another brief exchange over keeping his hands on his head. Our bad guy tells the deputy, you don't know who you're dealing with. And again, the deputy says, hey, are you going to try to hurt me? And the guy says, no. Deputy Layton and Fogle, they talk about whether or not he wants to call a lawyer. Bad guy says, maybe I'll make it through the night. Deputy tries to reassure him, say, man, the situation, you're making it bigger than what it is. And then the deputy checks Fogle's mouth for any objects in there because now he's getting kind of hinked up. And Fogle says his life is over. He's a CDL driver, and now he won't be able to make a living. The conversation, it gets more intense. Fogle repeats that his life is all over. He's a dead man. And he says, it's only you and me in this room. And then he starts talking about how many people were in the building. And the deputy asks, you know, are you threatening me? And he asks him to stand up. He wants to put the handcuffs on this guy because he's just getting too hinked up. Fogle, our bad guy, stands up, does not immediately comply with the deputy's commands to turn around, put his hands behind his back, and then the fight is on. Deputy has to put his hands on, the fight's on. Deputy's heard shouting, get the F away from me. He's reaching for my gun. And I think that he was verbalizing part of this on the radio, trying to get back up in the room with him. So they're fighting over the gun that the deputy had. I suspect the gun was still in the holster, but I think the deputy, you know, at this point is fighting one-handed, trying to keep the gun in the holster from coming out. The deputy then tells the bad guy he's going to shoot him. The bad guy says, that's what I want. So during the fight, the deputy's body cam, it ends up being deactivated. When it comes back on, our bad guy's already been stabbed. It says several times, let me tell you, I counted like 12 to 15 stab wounds on the guy's back. And that's just the stab wounds, not the slash marks on his back. And it must have been a heck of a fight. According to the press release at the time, the deputy, Layton and Fogle arrived at the way station 11:33 p.m. And then 30 minutes later, the deputy's on the radio saying they're in a fight. And paramedics come. They pronounced the bad guy dead at 12:30, which is about an hour later. So, and the deputy ended up not being injured. So that's the way that thing goes down. So, Randy, I don't know. We don't have all the details. I don't really believe that there would have been a knife laying around in the central breath test, you know, next to a breathalyzer. So I'm assuming the cop had a knife on him to save the day while they're fighting over the handgun. But what do you think about this when we got about a minute and 20 seconds?
Well, there's a lot to unpack on this story. First of all, thank God this officer is alive, because this it's only because he is a warrior that probably saved his life. But there's a lot to talk about here. First of all, many of these smaller agencies don't have the manpower to have enough cops that are available to do, you know, situations like this. There should always be two officers involved in a breathalyzer operation. You're alone with a suspect. The other part of this is, you know, are there rules governing having a weapon when you are alone in a situation where you're in a custodial environment? That's another question here. So there's and then if you
well, we're coming up, Randy, on a break. Tell you what, hold that thought. We'll be right back. And guys, it's about to get real. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're watching the show and you have your own agency, you're a chief or a sheriff, they've got a great deal for you. Founder Dana Kelly, it will allow you to actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. We just left off talking about just a wild story We have a deputy taking a bad guy DUI suspect to central breath test. They have a breathalyzer there. He's got to blow into it to see what the blood alcohol content is, and or what the alcohol content is. And so he unhandcuffs the guy, but the guy's he drives for a living. He's worried. He says his life is pretty much over. And then he starts making statements to the deputy, acting like he wants to fight the deputy, trying to ask him how many people are in the building, anyone else is in the immediate vicinity, anybody else coming in the room. And so the deputy goes to handcuff the guy for his safety. Guy breaks bad. Deputy verbalizes on radio that he's in a fight, and now the guy's going for his gun. And then the body cam goes off, right, during the middle of the fight. When it comes back on, our bad guy is proned out, handcuffed behind his back. And when they cut the shirt off, I count about 12 to 15 stab puncture wounds from the knife the cop used to get the guy. The guy died, ended up dying. He's still alive at this point, but you can see the stab wounds in addition to slash wounds on the guy. So the cop must have been in a fight for his life. I suspect he was fighting with one hand, keeping the gun in the holster instead of getting over a fight with the gun. And then with his other hand, he had access to a knife. I am assuming that he probably was carrying on him, that he was able to deploy a knife with one hand and neutralize the threat that way. Wild story with a video component as well. Lieutenant Randy Sutton. And Randy's got some inside scoop on this as well that I want you to share with our audience.
Yeah, so during Police Week, which was just last week, while I was at the Wounded Blue booth, an officer walks up to me. "Hey, nice to see you." Well, he was a police officer that I worked with at Las Vegas Metro. Well, he was telling me that he had retired from the job and then took a job as a deputy sheriff in Washington at this police agency where this incident took place. And he brought to my attention that his son, who was also a deputy on that department, was the officer involved in this fatal stabbing. So we had a long discussion about this, and we talked about the warrior spirit. Now, like I said, there's a lot to this story that maybe this incident could have been prevented had there been policies in place regarding having two officers present during a breathalyzer. Perhaps, especially in the red, there were a bunch of red flags here at the very outset. There was some suicidal words uttered about, even at the scene. So the mental state of this individual indicated that there was more to this than a simple arrest, and this officer was by himself, and so I think there are some policy issues here that need to be addressed. But when you're talking a lot of these smaller agencies, they just don't have the manpower to have two officers off the road conducting an arrest situation like this. So there's a lot more to this story, but I think what's really important here, Chip, is the warrior spirit. And almost every cop I know carries a knife because you're cutting seatbelts off of people. There's always a need for a knife. And so it's just a tool that almost every cop carries. And they're usually very, very accessible. And of course, this is a last ditch type of defense. Guys got your gun. What are you going to do? You're going to give up? No, you're going to fight for your life. And I think that the fact that this officer had the ability and the guts to, because let me tell you, as well as I do, stabbing is a violent against the human nature, right? And this guy's a good guy. The fact that he felt compelled to have to use a knife to defend his own life, well, that is the warrior spirit personified. And that's something we don't talk about enough in policing. In fact, just the opposite. There's been moves over the last 15 years, began with Obama, to de-warriorize the police. In fact, punishing the police for invoking the warrior spirit. So this is something we really need. That's why this is such an interesting story.
I agree. Guys, there's a company called Tekto, T-E-K-T-O, and their website is right here, and it's tetkoknives.com. And hey, like you can get a little knife like this, carbon fiber. It is a automatic, which means it's a switchblade. And this one isn't out the front, and they have out the sides as well. But if you are carrying, if you're in uniform, unless you keep the out the fronts, you require a lot more maintenance. They got to be clean, extremely clean environment. So if you're in uniform, get an out the side. These may look cooler, but they're not going to work in a bad environment. They're not going to fully deploy or lock in place. Get an out the side. If you're a detective, you have always in a clean environment, clean clothes, not dealing with anything dirty. Go with an out the front if you really want to, but a great option for you, this company. Now, Randy, we got 4 minutes left. You ready to tackle on the next one?
Let's go.
All right. So rumble.com. Again, this is Butters, the channel. Elk Grove police release a video of an officer shooting a suspect in the In-N-Out Burger parking lot.
Get your hands out of your fucking pocket. Get your hands out of your pocket. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Let me see your hands. Shoot it.
So Elk Grove, California. So this one is California, not Alabama. Around 11:14 at night, April 11th, Elk Grove police, they're called to an In-N-Out Burger for reports of a guy behaving erratically and he's brandishing a gun. So the video shows there's an initial 911 call. A woman says that this guy identified as a 50-year-old Jerry Tolliver, that he's harassing customers, and he seemed like he had a weapon in his pocket. So the first body cam footage shows the first officer approaching our bad guy saying, hey, hands up, don't move. And we have a multiple body cams on this, and along with a dash cam from a patrol car. And the suspect starts running between two parked cars, and he has a gun in his right hand. So according to police, the second officer ends up discharging his gun at Tolliver as he's running in the parking lot. And we actually have a body cam of that officer when he fires. Tolliver then points the gun at an officer, and a canine ends up being deployed. I always wonder why they deploy canines when we have a lethal situation, a bad guy with a gun. But the canine, he, they love the bite, Randy. And I know that unfortunate story you told earlier. But of course, he grabbed on. It looks like the bad guy's left tennis shoe took most of the beating on this one. You know, the dog didn't want to let go of the tennis shoe. But Tolliver's seen on the ground. He's got blood on his back. Police arrest him, and he ends up surviving. His gun was a 30. You don't see this a lot with bad guys. A 38 special revolver, 6-shot. And he was arrested, facing assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer, and felon in possession of a firearm. So he was a prohibited person, should not have had access to a weapon anyhow. And we have 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, man, this was pretty intense. The officers did a fantastic job on this. They did a tactical plan on how to approach the In-N-Out. Now, of course, you know, these are very fluid situations. This guy's in the In-N-Out. He's outside of the In-N-Out. Luckily, when they got there, he was outside of the In-N-Out. And then the officers made the approach. This individual brandished the firearm. They did the appropriate thing. They opened fire. Now, that was good shooting. This suspect was on the move. And the fact that they were able to deliver effective rounds, well, that was pretty damn good shooting. And they did everything right. They did everything right, everything professional. And when he was laying on the ground, he still, the gun was only inches away from him. And they could have discharged their weapons at that point as well, and they didn't, which is the only reason this suspect's still alive.
Yeah, and good point, Randy. And there was one point in the video, I didn't know whether it was synced between sound and video. There was one video showing there. You heard the shot go off, and then the bad guy points the gun at the cop, or the cops, and then there's more shots fired. But let me just point out, you don't have to wait until bad guy points a gun at you guys to pull the trigger. And this is not like the country of Spain where the cops actually have to wait until shots are being fired and bullets are flying through the air at them before they can actually, return fire and shoot at a bad guy. This is not those days. So there can be a threat. If you wait until the bad guy's pointing the gun at you already, it's too late. He can physically, and it's a fact, fire that weapon before you can even fire yours. Even if you've already got your gun pointed at him, if he has the drop on you. So, but I know that we've got about 10 seconds here, and we're going to be talking some more about the Wounded Blue coming up. But Randy Sutton, another great show. And thank you so much for making the time to be on here. Now, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And, of course, it's Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other injuries. And, of course, it's a family-focused thing, too, because even the summit, they want you to bring your wives and stuff. They realize that this is a family event. So, Randy, the dates and the information on the summit, again, you got about 20 seconds.
Yep, this is going to be September 22nd through the 25th here in Las Vegas. Make sure it's going to be at the Palace Station this year. Great little hotel, $395 registration fee and $100 a night for the hotel. It is worth every penny.
That is fantastic. What a deal, guys. You need to go if you haven't been, and you may get hooked and want to come back. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells have built a new online store. Also, TampaFP.com, former lawman.com, lawofficer.com. Thanks for carrying our content. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.